So tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, you're going to be blessed with our dear friends. You know that we had a missions team that went to Ireland just three weeks ago. We've got a team in a week or two leaving for Mexico City. How many are going to Mexico City? We've got 38 of our students and adults going to Mexico City to work with Operation Serve. We had students that went to Ireland, and these were they just graduated high school or just finished their freshman year of college. I received a lovely letter from Brian Kelly. He's the pastor of the church there in Crumlin in that area of Dublin where they served, and I just want to read you a paragraph here of what he said, because I want you to hear this. He said, "I'm writing to you to thank you for sending your mission team to help us with our summer project. Our church is small and very young. The majority of the people are on a journey to find or learn to walk with God. Having your guys with us made our outreach project to the kids in the area possible. I cannot praise them enough for what they've accomplished this week. They came so prepared. They had obviously put a lot of effort into getting ready for this week. Their props, their songs and dances, their teachings, but most importantly, their hearts. Their hearts were pure and beautiful to behold. They came to follow in the steps of the Lord. They came to serve, and they did it at every opportunity. They did it with great diligence. They did it with great energy and enthusiasm, and not only in the public eye, but also when no one was watching, where there was no glory to be had, no credit or clap on the back. They behaved impeccably. They represented your church with great credibility and gained the respect of all our people who were fortunate enough to spend some time with them." So what a lovely letter. And so thank you to our students. The gift of, that wasn't Barney, that was the truth there. But yeah, lovely, stated so well. All right, turn to Psalm 107. And I want to share a word this morning. Thursday night, I thought I had this idea that I was going to, the next three Sundays, August, we're beginning a new sermon series, and we'll tell you more about that next week. And I thought, I'm gonna do a three Sunday series called Pastor's Choice, and I'm going to pick three of my favorite sermons that I've preached and preach them. And then, so I started looking for a couple of sermons that I kind of had in mind that I wanted to speak. And in the midst of that, I ran across a sermon that I preached back in 2004. About from Psalm 107, and I just started kind of reading through it, and all of a sudden I thought, you know what, as I was reading and thinking about it, I started seeing the faces of people that I know are walking through some of these things right now in our church, and I thought, and just a witness in my spirit, this is what I'm supposed to talk about this morning. And so I want to share this word with you, and then we're going to pray for some folk this morning. But Psalm 107 is really part of a trilogy of sorts that begins with Psalm 105. So Psalm 105, 106, 107 all kind of fit together in a sense. Psalms 105, we read from that this morning as we opened the service. Psalm 105 begins with the recounting of the covenant with Abraham, and takes us through the time of the Exodus out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. Psalm 106 recounts a bit more of that history and points out the failure, the unfaithfulness of the people. They rebelled against God and then eventually were led into exile in Babylon. And then Psalm 107, we call it a post-exilic psalm. It means that it was written after the time of the Babylonian exile. The people have come back to Judah, come back to the land. And Psalm 107 is about giving thanks to God for delivering them from exile and bringing them back to this land of promise. And Psalm 107 gives us four different pictures of God's people in four different difficult circumstances. And each time when God's people call upon the Lord, He hears, He answers, and He delivers them out of their trouble. Because of God's faithfulness and His mercy, then, there's good news for you today. It's not just for those who have come out of Babylonian exile. It's not just for Israel or Judah, but it is for all of us because of the faithfulness of the Lord. So He still hears. When we cry out to Him, He still hears and answers our prayer. And that's what this psalm is about this morning. So look at Psalm 107. And if you don't have your Bible, I've got some of the verses on the screen for you. Psalm 107 begins this way. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love." That word love is loving kindness, is the way some translations have it. It's mercy. It's loving kindness it flows from the good kindness of the Lord towards us. And so give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy, His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that those He redeemed, He's telling us who this is. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south, we're the ones there to say, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, that His mercy endures forever. We're to proclaim that. Then He says, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. As we look at this, there's a couple of things there. There's almost a song in this, in a sense, that the refrain keeps coming. Here they are, they wandered in wastelands, found no way to a city, they were hungry and thirsty, and then the chorus is, then they cried to the Lord, and He heard them and delivered them out of their distress. And then there's another verse, and then there's a chorus, and so it's a good song. It's also a good sermon, and you can hear a good preacher. If you had a good preacher, you could hear him saying, all right, it's time to begin the service. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord say this. You know, and then we need Bryce on the organ. We get a little organ, and then, come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, thank You, Lord, You've redeemed me out of something. How many of you know that you've been scattered or lost or away from God or out in sin, but He's gathered you somewhere. He's gathered you from far off and distant lands. He's gathered you from the east and west and north and south. And so I won't preach it like that this morning, but if I was, by this time I'd be saying, oh, come on, somebody help me up in here, because nobody, you're not hearing what I'm telling you this morning, that He's redeemed us out of something. Amen? So, all right, that was your cue to say that. All right. Mike French was here last Sunday. I should be saying, how many know, and put your hand up. So we can say, yes, I give thanks to the Lord because He's redeemed me. He brought me out of this. His love. I can't pronounce it correctly, but there's three people, Zippy and Yuda and Pam can all, it's chesed, isn't it? Yeah. Chesed? Chesed. It's loving kindness, it's mercy. See, I know that one, all right? So yeah, thumbs up to me. So it's the loving kindness, the mercy, the steadfast love of the Lord. I like saying it that way. So here's the preacher testifying here from Psalm 107. We're the redeemed of the Lord, he says. Let the redeemed of the Lord. And if we're redeemed, it means we've been redeemed out of something. We've been purchased out of something. Webster's Dictionary defines redeemed like this. It says it means to rescue or to ransom or liberate from captivity or bondage. To deliver, to rescue, to save in any manner. And in theology, it means to deliver from sin and its penalties as by a sacrifice made for the sinner. When the psalmist wrote these words, he's thinking about the fact that God redeemed them, God ransomed them, bought them, and brought them out of Babylonian captivity after 70 years. Jeremiah had prophesied it. Daniel, reading one day, said, you know what? God said it was just going to be 70 years and then He'll take us home. And he began to rejoice. We studied it on Wednesday night there. And so they were ransomed and brought back from Babylon back to their land and back to Jerusalem. For us, we look at it and think, oh, hallelujah, that a sacrifice was made and we've been ransomed and redeemed. We're redeemed of the Lord. That means we've been delivered from something. We've been rescued from something. We've been saved from something. We've been brought out of something. We've been liberated from something. And so here we are looking at this saying, Lord, maybe I haven't been exiled to a strange land. I haven't been a prisoner of war somewhere. I haven't been carried off into slavery, but I can identify with this. I've been rescued out of something. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? I've been redeemed out of something. I've been brought out of something. I've been brought from a place of bondage or despair or sickness or whatever, and I've been rescued out of that. We understand about that. Some of us have been rescued out of the desert and out of the wasteland of our existence. So the psalmist said in verse 4, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. They're exiled, led into a desert wasteland. They're taken off to, to exile. If they made it all the way to Babylon, it was, you know, one of the wonders of the world, but not all of them got that far. They're just left out in the wilderness to wander. No city where they were allowed to settle. Everywhere they went, there was a sign up that said, "No Jews allowed, just keep moving." And so here they're looking for a place to settle, a city. They're in exile, and there was no place to go. They're rejected and abandoned and left to wander. And some of us can relate to that as well. Maybe you haven't been exiled, but you know what it is to be rejected. You know what it is to be cast out or to be cast aside or to be left out. You're the one that nobody sits with at lunch. You're the one that on your job that you've been fired and booted out for no cause or no reason. And you understand. You feel like you've been wandering through a desert for a while now. You haven't been able to find a place to settle. You haven't found a city to settle in. You keep experiencing rejection. It doesn't feel like you belong anywhere. You can't get settled in your life. It's like everywhere you go, there's a sign that says, "Everybody else but you." You know, that you just keep moving because there's no place for people like you. There's no place for somebody with your history. There's no place for somebody with your past. There's no place for somebody that lives this way, and you just have to keep moving. A desert wasteland is a desolate place. Verse 4 said they wandered in desert wastelands. It's a solitary place, a lonely place, and you're alone and vulnerable and hopeless, and maybe you know what it's like. Work isn't satisfying. You're not settled there. It's just a job, and you go in and punch that thing that you're supposed to punch or move that thing down the assembly line, and it's just like, this is worthless, and I'm not settled here. I don't feel like I fit or belong here. And you come to church, and it feels like another wasteland, and you're not connected. You're just sitting there by yourself, and you don't know anybody. And it feels like what the psalmist said, that your life is ebbing away, and it's like I'm dying and disappearing, and nobody even seems to notice. Nobody knows what's happening on the inside. But then this passage, if that describes you at all this morning, there's good news for you, because this passage says concerning those that are wandering in the wasteland of their life, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. Whatever the reason for the desolate experiences of your life, whatever the reason for the wilderness that you're walking through this morning, the way out of the desert is to call upon the Lord. Amen? If you'll call, He will answer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, "Call on Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." That's the promise that we hold on to when we're wandering through a wasteland and through a desert, hungry and thirsty and in need. But if we call, we believe He hears us and He answers our prayer, and He's there to help us and deliver us. Somewhere I read about a physician that was suffering with an illness that put him in bed, and he was in terrible pain and couldn't find an answer, really in despair. And he said, "As I was laying in the bed, staring up at the ceiling and wondering what I could do and what would happen to me," he said, "I realized that as I was laying there, my eyes were fixed in the right direction, that I was looking up toward the heavens." He said, "It's the only way that a bed patient can really look. You just lay there flat on your back, staring up and thinking, that's the only way I can look." And then he said, "I realized then that the only way out of this sickness I was in was up." I kind of like that. The only way out is up. Keep looking up. Look to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. They looked up. "God, if You're there, here I am and I need Your help." They cried out to the Lord and He answered them. I can remember going back in 2007 after I'd had surgery, cancer surgery, and then began to hemorrhage, and they took me back to the ER, and the PA came in, and she said, "Well, you're right." She was very cheery. "Well, you're right. You're bleeding. You're hemorrhaging, and we're going to need to take you to surgery and see if we can stop the bleeding." Okay, thanks for being cheery about it. And I remember St. John's, and they wheeled you out of the ER, and they're taking you down to the operating room, and I remember just looking at the panels, the ceiling panels, you know, because you're not looking at anything. And I honestly remember thinking, because of the hemorrhage and stuff, I just thought, you know, they could take me down here and chop my arms and legs off, and I couldn't even raise my arms to protest. It just felt like I'd run out of gas, and truthfully, that's what was happening. But I watching those panels go by and thinking, well, you know what, this could be it. I could actually die. But also thinking, but you know what? I'm going to heaven, and I'm looking the right direction on this deal. The only way out is up. The only way through this is to keep looking up and to cry out to the Lord, and He hears us when we cry out to Him. That's what was going on here. The only way out is up, and we call upon the Lord. Notice verse 7 says, He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. They couldn't find a place where they fit. They couldn't find a place where they were accepted. They couldn't find a place where they belonged. But then they called upon the Lord, and He led them straight to a city where they could settle, to a people that accepted them and loved them. He brought them to a place where they belonged. He brought them home to Judah and back to Jerusalem. He brought them to His city and His kingdom and His family. And would you hear me this morning? God's got a place for you. He hasn't brought you into the wilderness to die there. He didn't bring you into the desert to leave you there. He's bringing you through the desert to a city that's made just for you. When they left Egypt and went into the wilderness, God didn't take them into the wilderness to kill them. That was a choice they made to rebel against God, that a generation died in the wilderness. But He was taking them to a promised land if they had only cooperated. And when they had gone into rebellion and were taken into exile in Babylon, He had already said, you're going to be led into exile, but I will bring you back. He had already made them a promise. He didn't take them there to leave them. He didn't take them there to die. He took them there because He was still planning to bring them back. And He still says through His prophets, even though you've been scattered to the four corners of the world, He's still planning on bringing the Jewish people back to the nation of Israel. And we're seeing it happen in our day and in our age. It's happening now, today. God said, I'm going to lead them to the city where they could settle. And for the Jewish people, yes, He's done that, but He says it for us as well today. God's got a place for you. He didn't take you into the wilderness to leave you there. He's preparing a city for us on the other side, and He's going to take us there someday. But in the meantime, He's got a place for you today where you belong. He's destined you for deliverance from the desert. Call on Him. He says in that next verse that He said, in verse 9, He satisfies the thirsty and He fills the hungry with good things. From starvation and dying of thirst in the desert, He brings you out of the desert. He satisfies your thirst. He quenches your thirst. And He fills us with good things and with His blessing. Trust Him. Trust Him. He's preparing a place. You're not there yet. I know you're still in the desert and you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're struggling to get there. But keep looking up. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep crying out to Him. Cry out, because He said they cried out to the Lord and He heard them and He delivered them out of their distress and out of this burden. Well, now we go from a desert wilderness, look at verse 10, to a prison cell. And He says, for some set in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. One translation says, prisoners in affliction, or bound in affliction. They're suffering in their chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. It actually says that He bowed them under this. And they stumbled, and there was no one to help. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them. He freed them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away or tore away their chains. Now, the psalmist acknowledges these folks were prisoners of their own making. They had rebelled against God and against His wise counsel, and they found themselves imprisoned because of their bad choices. Some of you know what it's like to be a prisoner this morning. A prisoner because of bad choices and wrong decisions. You rebelled and you suffered the consequences. Some of you perhaps know what it's like to be a literal prisoner, incarcerated because of mistakes you made. And now you've paid your debt to society. You've been released. You served your sentence. And now you're living a new life in Christ. And we're grateful you're here with us today. But you certainly remember what it's like to be locked up, to be a prisoner. Some of you are prisoners of a different type today. You're in chains. Maybe you're bound by addiction to drugs or alcohol. Maybe addiction to sexual immorality or pornography or infidelity. Addicted to greed or lying or deceit or gambling. Addicted to violence or anger or domestic violence, whatever it is. Maybe you're living a secret life and a lifestyle that you know is contrary to God's Word. You're despising the counsel of God, as this passage says. And you're going your own way, and the result is bondage for you. Maybe you haven't been locked up in prison, or maybe that's the next step if you don't stop what you're doing. But you wish you could be free from that addiction. You wish you could be free from that bondage and the chains that you're in today. He called them iron chains. You're a prisoner suffering in iron chains because of rebellion. And some of you today are shackled by emotional chains, held captive by your past, held captive by failures and mistakes of the past. Some of you are prisoners to darkness He says darkness and the deepest gloom, fear and despair, depression, post-traumatic stress because of events that happened in the past, or maybe war experiences or just life experiences. Prisoners of affliction, that's a powerful term. Prisoners of affliction, and that's where you are today. Feeling alone. Notice this, it says, verse 12 says, they stumbled and there was no one there to help. I've fallen and I can't get up, all right? They were trapped and prisoners of affliction, but there's no one there to help them. No one to bring them out. Alone and in despair. It says they sat in darkness. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom. The Hebrew word that's used there is the same word when it says they no place to settle, if I remember correctly. It's not just saying, well, they sat down for a minute and then they felt bad and there was despair and they had kind of a down day or they had a restless night, but now things are better. What it's saying is, no, some settled in darkness and deepest gloom. Some just moved in and thought, well, this is my lot, that I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this musty dungeon and there's no place else to go. That this is my destiny, is to be here in depression and in distress. I've settled in this dark land in the deepest gloom. But hear what I'm telling you. God didn't leave them where they were. He didn't leave them where He found them. It didn't matter their past. It didn't matter what they had done. It didn't matter where they had been. And notice this, it didn't matter what they had done to put themselves in that position. It'd be easy to say, well, we're getting what... I can't pray to the Lord and ask Him to deliver me because I'm getting exactly what I deserve. I'm a no good, dirty, rotten, mean, worthless scoundrel. And so this is what I deserve. And you know what? As Clint Eastwood said, desserts got nothing to do with it, all right? There's nothing, it's not about what we deserve, because that's what they deserved. They rebelled. Hear it again. They said in darkness they had rebelled against the Word of God. And so He subjected them to this. But in the midst of that, they cried out to the Lord. Hear it. And He brought them out of the darkness. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He saved them from their distress. Brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom. And broke away, tore away their chains. No wonder the psalmist says in verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, His mercy, and His wonderful deeds for men. For He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. I like that. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. It's not about, well, I've been such a terrible person. It's about turning away from the past and crying out to the Lord. And He hears us. Notice this. Every time He says that they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and He saved them from their distress. That word distress is the word that means narrowness. They're stuck in a place. I saw it on the news the other day. Some guy, I guess he was trying to sneak back in the house. I don't remember. He may have been a teenager or something. And he'd come late and authorities said alcohol may have been involved. You think? So he decided, he was locked himself out and he decided he could sneak in and he tried to get down through the chimney. Did anybody see that? And so, yeah. And so maybe alcohol wasn't involved and he was a slow learner, but it taught him. Anyway, but he decided, I'll just slide down the chimney. So after, I don't know, he was in there a couple, 3 hours. He didn't look like a big guy, but you're wedged in there like Winnie the Pooh, stuck in a very tight place, you know? I thought of that on this sermon. They called to the Lord from their distress. That's what it's talking about. They called to the Lord from a very narrow spot. They're stuck in the chimney and there's no way out. You can't go up, you can't go down. Help me! You know, and imagine his parents saying, do you hear something? It sounds like a cat stuck in the chimney. And the dad said, it's your boy. Genius that he is, coming down the chimney. Ho, ho, ho. So anyway, they had to call the fire department and bust the brick and get him out of there. They cried to the Lord when they got stuck in the chimney. They cried to the Lord out of their distress, and He brought them out and broke away their chains. He broke away what was holding them fast. Listen to me this morning. No shackles, no prison bars are so secure, but what God's mercy can cut through them. Gates of bronze, it says, and bars of iron, and that's pretty substantial stuff. Gates of bronze and iron bars. But if you call upon the Lord, He'll deliver you out of the darkness and out of the gloom. He'll liberate you from the prison that holds you. He'll cut through the bars. He'll break down the gates, the things that hold you captive and broken in your life. Those things can be gone. Listen to me. You have a destiny this morning, and it's not to die in a dungeon. It's not to die as a prisoner in despair or in gloom. Your destiny is not to die behind bars or to remain a captive of the enemy. Instead, God has destined you for deliverance. He's destined you to be free from that. And these people cried to the Lord, and in their time of trouble, and God delivered them from their distress. And the same can be said for you. I believe that's our destiny this morning, is deliverance. Now look at verse 17. We've looked at those in the desert. We've looked at those in the prison. Now we're looking at these that are in affliction and or sickness. So it says in verse 17, some became fools. So there is hope for you if you... If you've just been making wise choices so far, you can still become a fool. There's still time for you to sign up for that class. By the way, you need to go to one of these Sunday school classes starting in August. You know, I don't know what it costs to go to a financial advisor, because I don't have any finances. I don't know, to go, honestly, to go sit in a class with a psychiatrist and a pediatrician teaching that. What's that, like $500 an hour? And you can go for free at Carbondale Assembly of God, all right? Now, you may not want to bare your soul in front of the class, but I'm telling you, you're going to want to go to these classes. And what's the other? Oh, and marriage. And these are people that have been married 40-some years. So take advantage of these things. And hallelujah, that's good. Okay, back to the sermon. That was the commercial break. You should have run out and got a cup of coffee, because the commercial's over. Here we go. Verse 17. Some became fools through the rebellious ways. And then think about that a minute. You know, you're not born a fool necessarily. Right? Fool said in his heart, there is no God. You can be a really smart guy and you can love the Lord and serve Him all those years and then suddenly become a fool because you rebel against God and His Word. Some became fools through their rebellious ways, and they suffered affliction because of their iniquities, because of their sin. And it broke them. That's what it's talking about. They loathed all food, drew near the gates of death. They couldn't eat. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His Word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Now, this passage is describing those who were sick, and the word there is just broken or weakened. They're hurting, troubled because of rebellion. They're suffering because of their sin. He may even be thinking of those who rebelled in the wilderness, and the Bible tells, remember, venomous snakes came out and bit them, and they were dying, and then Moses cried out to the Lord, and He told him to have a brazen serpent, lift it up, and whoever looked on it were healed and delivered. And he may have been thinking of that. You can read it in Numbers 21. But I want us to think this morning just in terms of affliction, because it says He sent His Word and healed them. I want you to think of physical affliction this morning. And of course, some affliction can come because of our own foolishness and, you know, what we eat or drink or consume or whatever. And so physical sickness and illness can come because of rebellion against God's order and plan. But you know what? It also comes just because you're alive and you live this long and you live on this planet, and sickness just comes to people. And so I told him in first service, you know, maybe it comes because you're addicted to Diet Pepsi. And so don't email me about why. What? You're drinking? No, I don't want to read it. I'll just delete it, okay? So that's the foolishness on my part. I drink Diet Pepsi. I told him, I went searching in Jerusalem. Everybody in Jerusalem drinks Coke. I finally found a Pepsi truck down at the bottom of Ben Yehuda Street. And I there was no driver there. It was just the truck. And I thought, well, stealing, that'd be inappropriate. And I really thought, Paula was with me. I said, maybe we'll just wait and see if the driver comes out. I'm like, look, can I score some Diet Pepsi, man? I just need to, just a couple of cans. Come on, buddy. I'm from America. I need a Diet Pepsi. What's the deal with Coke in this world, huh? So I might have a little problem. I don't know. A little bit of a problem. So I may have a little bit of too much of whatever that is in there. But I take my pills with Diet Pepsi, so. But But I don't think Diet Pepsi caused me to have kidney cancer in 2007, all right? And don't email me about it either, about it
says right here, Attorney General, Surgeon General says,
I don't want to know. It just happened, all right? It's just one of those things that happened. So these are folk that, though, that I want you to think of it in terms of whether it happened because we weren't very wise or it happened just because it happened and we're living on the planet and it's a fallen world. But these folks are suffering affliction. It describes illness because it says they loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. They couldn't eat a bite. They were sick. Those who were wasting away due to sickness and brokenness in their life. And I admit, sometimes the hurt from emotional pain is worse than the physical pain. But they could no longer eat, and it says they're near the gates of death. They were literally, we use the phrase, they were at death's door. That's where they were. Maybe they're even hoping to die because the pain is so bad, and maybe you've been there where the physical pain was so bad you just thought, I'd rather die than go through this, or maybe it's the emotional pain, and I've been there where, Lord, if this isn't going to go away, I'd rather just die. What do you do when you're suffering pain, whether it's physical or emotional, that the pain is so severe? What do you do? Remember, the only way out is up. And what does the Bible say? Verse 19, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent His word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. What do we do when we're at wits? What do we do when we've come to the end, when we're at death's door, when you can't eat a bite and you're weak and you're perishing? The gates of death are there. What do? You call on the Lord. And the Bible says, and He heard them and He sent His word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. And friends, that wasn't just something for 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. That's for today, that when we cry to the Lord, He's still hearing and He's still there to rescue us. There's still reason to call upon Him and believe that when sickness or illness has come, that He's there to deliver. And you say, well, I don't know that I could pray because I don't know if I deserve healing. Are you following me in Psalm 107? Because remember why they were there? Because of their rebellion. They suffered affliction because of their iniquities. These folk had sinned against God and sickness came to them. But when they cried out to the Lord, He heard them in their affliction. He sent forth His word and He healed them. They didn't deserve it, but God heard their cry. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But out of His great mercy, He hears the cries of His people and He brings us healing. That's the word of the Lord to us this morning. Dessert's got nothing to do with it. Again, that Clint Eastwood, he's quite a theologian. Dessert's got nothing to do with it. It's not about what we deserve. It's about His loving kindness. It's about the mercy of the Lord that He gives to us. Friends, He wants to deliver us when we call upon Him. Whether the affliction came because you were a fool or whether it came just out of nowhere, call on the Lord and trust Him. He still brings deliverance to us. He still sends His word and heals us. And now look at verse 23 as we see the closing somewhere out there. I started to start to close, but that's too hopeful. Verse 23, it says, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters, on the deep. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep, for He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. That word tempest, it can be translated as hurricane. All right, so it wasn't like, oh, a tempest. It was a hurricane, all right? It was a big storm. Who stirred up the storm? Who brought the storm? He did, for He spoke and stirred it up. The NIV doesn't capitalize the pronouns of deity, but other translations do. The He is capitalized in some of those other translations. It's God that stirred up the tempest and that lifted high the waves. And I'll give you my opinion about why in just a minute, or one possibility. But look again at this storm. Verse 26 and 27 says, they mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. So think about it. It's poetic. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. I remember sitting in the airport years ago. I think we were coming back from Uruguay, maybe, or Argentina or something. Uruguay, and we landed in Florida, and we were sitting there and began a conversation with a guy next to me, and he said, yeah, I've been out. He worked for an oil company or something. He'd been out on a tanker, and then at one of the, whatever you call those stations out in the middle of the ocean somewhere. So he said, yeah, it got real stormy out there, and he had a video. It was a camera that he had, as I remember now. And he said, yeah, this was kind of what the storm was looking like. And I'm telling you, I was just almost getting a little ill. Just looking at the video, I mean, it was tossing a big tanker like this, waves crashing, and just the pictures inside. And I'm thinking, you do this for a living that you're out there? Yeah, well, that was pretty rough, you know, he said. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, deliver me from ever being there. Mounting up to the heavens and then drop down to the depths. It's that cartoon thing, you know, you're suddenly there and then the wave's gone and you do that little, and then you're down in the water. It's that kind of deal that he's talking about. And he says, and in the midst of that, their courage melted away. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. Yes, the minnow would be lost. So 1 minute they're at the top, and then suddenly the bottom would drop out. They're suspended in midair. Suddenly, it says that their courage melted away. It's saying that their heart and their stomach was up in their throat somehow. And it spun them around. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. There was nothing they could think to do. It says they were at their wits' end. I actually thought my mom invented that phrase, I think. You see, I'm just at my wits' end about that. And it was in the Bible the whole time. They were at their wits' end. It meant they thought they were losing their mind because they didn't know what else they could do. And some of you this morning may be thinking, that's it. That describes where I've been for the last year or 10 years or whatever it's been. That you've been in a storm, and 1 minute you're on top, and the next minute it looks like you're going to plunge to the bottom, to the depths, and you're reeling like a drunk person, and you're pulling your hair, you're at your wits' end, I don't know what I'm going to do, your head's spinning, you feel sick and scared, your stomach's up in your throat, your heart's in your throat, and you're just, I've been there where I've literally pulled my hair and said, I'm losing my mind, I don't know what I can do. How do I get out of this storm? What do I do? And we remember that the way out is up, and we do exactly, you already know the answer to the question. What did they do? The Bible says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. What do? We're going to cry out to the Lord. Cry out. Sometimes in a storm, there isn't time for a long, lengthy, flowery King James Version prayer. O Lord, Thou that deliverest out of the storms and out of the peril, would that Thou would come today. Sometimes it's just, oh God, help me. Jesus, save me. Lord, rescue me. That's all you've got time for. And He hears them. They cried out to the Lord. One translation says it was a shriek. I mean, they screamed it out. Oh, God, help us. And He delivered them and brought them out of their distress. We cry out to Him. Look what happens in verse 29. He makes the hurricane quiet, it says. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And this is the calm after the storm. The New Testament, Jesus calmed the wind and the waves by speaking to them. They hushed the wind. He stills the storm to a whisper. The waves stop their rolling and the sea is hushed. And I tell you today, we call upon the Lord. We trust in Him even when we're going through a storm, and He will see us through. He'll still the storm. Now, you're going to have to trust Him in His timing, because not every time that you say, oh God, deliver me from the storm, does He say, okay, right now. Sometimes He says, Hang on. That's what He told Paul in the midst of the storm. They were throwing stuff overboard. They'd lashed the boat underneath in the last chapters of Acts there. And God said, just stay on board. Tell everybody to stay on board. Everybody that stays with you is going to make it. I'm going to get you. I'm taking you somewhere. It's going to be all right. But the storm's not going to stop today. And sometimes it may be a little time. Trust the timing of the Lord. He'll hush the waves and bring peace in the midst of the storm. Now, look at the next verse. Remember, I said I was going to tell you why I think the Lord stirred up the storm to begin with. Verse 30 says, they were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. He led them to the haven of their desire. He led them to a pleasant harbor, it says. It's important for us to realize God didn't just calm the storm. He took the ship then to a safe haven, to a safe harbor, to a desirable place. He took those people to a place that would satisfy the desire of their heart. He sent the storm. Why? The storm, it was all about destination. It was about destination. The storm may have taken them someplace they never would have gone on their own. It may have taken them someplace off the map. It may have taken them someplace that they never even would have considered in their wildest dream, but God had a destiny and a destination for them. God knew where they needed to be. God knew the desire of their heart, so He guided them to their desired haven. God sometimes stirs the tempest in our lives and stirs the wind out of His mercy. He picks up the wind out of His love for us because He wants to take us someplace that we never even thought about. He wants to take us someplace that He knows we won't go without a little bit of help. He wants us to see some places that we've never considered. He wants us to go to a place that nobody else is willing to go. And He says, it's the perfect fit for you. Remember, they wandered through the wilderness and couldn't find a city to settle in. And God says, I got a place for you, and it's a perfect match, but it's a little distance from here, and I know how slow you and Grandma move, so hold on to the boat, because I'm going to get you there, and it'll be sooner than later. And He takes us by means of a storm, and the next thing you know, then He calms it down, and we go, well, look at this place. Look at this. I never would have dreamed it could be like this. I never would have thought it would end up like this. I never thought that at the end of the wilderness there'd be this. I never thought at the end of the storm there'd be a beautiful harbor and a safe haven like this. And so He takes us somewhere. The purpose of allowing the storm is to get us to the desired harbor and haven. It's all about destination. It's about the realization of God's plan and purpose for your life. You've been destined for deliverance. And it's not only that He's delivering you out of something or delivering you from something, but God in His purpose is delivering you to something. He's taking you somewhere. Did you hear that this morning? He's not just delivering you out of something, not just delivering you from something. He's delivering you to something. He's going to calm this storm and He'll bring you to that place where you've been wanting to be all along. It says in verse 30, they were glad. They were glad when it calmed down and He took them to the desired harbor. Nobody's glad about the storm, but boy, when you get there, hallelujah. When you get there, May of 1999 and the storm had hit more and I was walking right out here. There used to be a sidewalk and there was a whole wing that went down that way. And I walked over here to the church and I was walking back home and I said, Lord, it's your church, it's your building. You want to blow it away? That's your business. You do whatever's best. And I went home, and then in a little bit, I changed into my jeans. Paul said, what are you doing? I said, I want to look better when the media gets here. Just being silly. And then about an hour and a half later, the media showed up because the building blew away. And if you ask me that night, if you ask Daryl Wooten and I that night when we're standing out there bent over like this, I understood about dropping to the depths. That's where we were. We were doing that right there. Boy, the second story's gone. The roofs are gone. What are we going to do now? And the Lord says, well, hang on, because I'm going to take you to a desired haven. I'm going to show you some stuff that you wouldn't have seen any other way. Just hold on. You're going to love this. This is going to be great. When the crying and screaming stops, you're going to love it. You know? What time is it? We have to leave in a minute, don't we? It's a roller coaster ride. That the look of terror on your child's face for the 2.5 minutes. And you get off and you go, let's do it again. Are you serious? Are you serious? I'm not cleaning up the ride again. We're not going. That's the way we do. Oh, God. Wow. Look at this. Look where He brought us to in the midst of this. He's delivering us to something. He's taking us someplace. Don't be afraid. You're going to get there and you'll be glad just like they were. They were glad when they got there. Woo, it's been a ride, but look where we are now. Look what God's brought us to. And this time He tells them, here's what they say. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. This time He says, get together with some other people and testify and exalt Him in the assembly of the people. Gather some people and say, let me tell you how this worked. It's where the gray-haired people get to say to the other people, oh, let me tell you, because one time I was in a storm, a literal storm, and it blew the roof off. But let me tell you, I tell other young pastors, here's what will really bless you. First, get a natural disaster. Tornado's good, fire, flood, whatever. Something that will destroy your building, and then it's cohesive forming building. I mean, all your people come together, and they'll want to give, and they'll want to serve. So I recommend arson. I recommend something that'll...
But I can say that. Oh, listen, a storm's not going to kill you. You're going to ride through this because God's taken you to a safe harbor. I know you're hungry and thirsty in the wilderness, but hang on, kids. We're almost to Wally's World. This is going to be great. We're going to get there. We're going to make it through the wilderness, and it's going to be all right. I'm here to tell you this morning. I'm the 60-year-old, but we had a 95-year-old here earlier or whatever. I'm just telling you, we can tell you that just hang on. God's taken you somewhere. He didn't bring you out here to die in the desert. He's taken you through. He didn't bring you into a storm so you'll drown. He brought you because He's got a safe harbor, a good place for you to be, and He's going to get you there. It's not His plan to leave you dying in a dungeon somewhere. He's come to break free the shackles and the bronze gates and the iron bars and to give you liberty and freedom this morning. That's the word of the Lord, and it comes because of His mercy. And because of His grace, His power will see you through. Don't despise the storm. God's taken you somewhere. And the last verse of this chapter says, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. If you're in the midst of a storm this morning, consider the great mercy, the great loving kindness of the Lord. Consider what He did for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Consider what He did for those in exile, and He brought them back. After 70 years of bondage in Babylon, He brought them back. He led them back and back to their home and back to their town, back to rebuild the temple. He had a purpose and a plan for them. And you may have been in exile. You may have been in the desert. You may have been somewhere. God says, I've got a destiny for you, and it's not to leave you dying somewhere. It's to bring you through and to bring you to victory. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? If you believe it, stand on your feet this morning. And let's give thanks to the Lord. Lord, the Bible says they cried out to the Lord and He heard them and delivered them out of their distress and out of their trouble. And we give You thanks today. Thanks be to God who by Your mercy delivers us and sets us free. Lord, I thank You today that we can cry out to You and You're here to deliver us. Lord, the wise are those who consider the great love of the Lord. If you're here this morning, we're going to wrap this up, but if you're here this morning and one of those stories fits you, maybe you feel like you've been wandering in the wilderness. It just, nothing seems to fit, the job or relationships or whatever it is, or just nothing seems to fit and you're not settled somehow and you're ready to cry out to God about it. Or maybe you're in bondage to something or depression, you're in gloom, or maybe you need healing this morning or whatever it is. I don't need to preach the sermon again, but you're saying, I need to cry out to the Lord today. And He says to gather the people in the assembly and to do it together. And if you're here this morning, I want you just to slip out and come. We're not going to stay a long time, but just slip out and stand here at the front where we can pray together. Would you do that? If you're ready, you just need to cry out to the Lord about something. Come on, hurry. Come on, right now. You just need to cry out to Him today. You need deliverance. You need victory. You need Him to come. You've been in a wilderness. You've been in a prison somehow or another. There's affliction. There's brokenness for you or a family member. Or you're out on a ship somewhere and it's just tossing and turning. And you feel like your wit's in. You've been spinning around every direction and don't know which way to go. We're going to pray together this morning. Come on. There's about 10 more people. You need to come. You're not committing anything. You're not signing up. You don't have to listen to my speech. You've already done that, you know. You don't have to look at condos or property. You're just going to come and we're going to pray this morning. Come on, somebody else. There's something you need. You need deliverance. You need victory in an area of your life. Your kids, they're taking a path that you're worried about today. Something needs to change for them. We're going to cry out to the Lord together today. That's what He says to do. We're going to cry out to the Lord. And here's the promise. And He heard them and delivered them out of their distress. Maybe you're trapped in that chimney. You're in a tight spot. And you're thinking, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how God's going to get me out of this or how He's going to get my kids out of this. How He's going to get them out of what they're facing in their marriage or with their family. But God's a deliverer. Do you hear me this morning? He's a deliverer. He's got a destiny for you. I told the first crowd this morning at 9 that somebody had come forward that I knew their father had died of an illness and they're suffering with that same illness. And I said, you know what? That you don't have to say, well, God's led me out here and now I'm going to die from the same thing. DNA is not determining things for you. God's grace is what's going to determine the outcome for you. It's a stronger determiner of destiny than DNA or biology or anything else. God's a healer and He provides for us. Amen?
Amen. Some of you may want to come and stand with some of these, or just stretch your hands toward them. We're going to pray together. Others come to pray with us this morning. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these who have come today. I pray, Lord, for Your deliverance and victory. We need You, Lord, to set us free. That chains are broken, that affliction, that healing comes to us in the name of Jesus. That wisdom comes to us, Lord, that we don't have from anywhere else. Lord, that You heal us. That we're not going to settle in a place of despair or depression or fear, but You lift us out of that place and You give us victory today, Lord. That there's healing and health and hope for us today. Lord, that You deliver us today. That You've got wisdom we don't have. That You provide for us, Lord, in ways that we can't even begin to imagine or provide for ourselves. Lord, there's help for us today. There's victory for us today, Lord. You provide it for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You come to heal us. We cry out to the Lord, and there's healing and deliverance for us today. We cry out to You, Lord, and there's deliverance for us. We cry out to You, Lord, and You hear us. That's the way it's always been. And You hear us today, Lord, when we cry. Oh God, come, set us free, Lord. Break the chains and the shackles. Give healing to us. Take us out of a dark place, Lord, and let us walk in peace and walk in Your favor and Your blessing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I believe You today, Lord. I trust You today that You lift the despair from us, Lord, that we cry out to You. That You do what no other power can do to set us free, Lord. Oh, God, touch Shannon today with healing in her body, Lord. Touch us today with healing and provision, Lord. Touch us today. We cry out to You, Lord. You know our needs. You know what we're facing. You know what we're dealing with today, Lord. And You're the faithful God who hears us when we call upon You, Lord. You hear us today when we cry out to You. You hear us today, Lord, when we seek after You. The answer's there for us, Lord. The answer's there because we cry out to You today in faith. Thank You, Lord, for Your healing and Your provision. We cry out to You today. Come deliver us, Lord. We're not here to stay. You're taking us through the storm, and there's a safe harbor. There's a good place ahead for us, Lord. You're going to deliver us and set us free in the name of Jesus. You deliver us today. There's a place of safety. There's a place of provision for us today. There's a place of provision for us today, Lord. I believe that. I believe that. Now, you that have come forward this morning, we hear it again in Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. It's not because you said the right words. It's not because you walked down here to the front. It's only because His love endures forever. The Lord is good, and He's got good gifts for you this morning. Would you just give Him thanks however you want to do that? Lord, I give thanks to the Lord. I thank You this morning for Your good, and Your mercy endures forever. Your loving kindness reaches us where we are, in the dungeon or in the storm, on board the ship. Doesn't matter how high the winds or the waves, Lord, You provide for us, and there's victory for us. And the wise are the ones who consider the great love of the Lord. You love us when we're not lovable. You love us when we've rebelled and run from You. I don't know how it happens, but You do. You call us back. You call us, Lord. You pull us back with cords of kindness and mercy. You draw us back to Yourself, and You're doing that for us today. Thank You, Lord, that You rescue us. Even out of our own stupidity, when we jump down a chimney, You can still rescue us. Even when we've done stuff, Lord, that alienated family members, You can still forgive us and call us home and put the pieces back together. And I believe You to do that today, Lord. Forgive us and cleanse us and show us Your strength in our behalf today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, an offering of adoration today. Lord, we bless You and honor You this morning. Amen, amen. All right, hallelujah. Go rejoicing this morning. You're welcome to stay and pray if you want. Rejoice in the Lord because His mercy is new every morning. Come back tonight at 6, Wednesday night, Sunday, whenever the next time. Amen, amen.